up. The Soul Savage Show, live here on StudioWBuzz.com. Stay tuned.
I'm
Yes. Hey, welcome back to the Soul Savage Show here on the bus. Stevie Wonder, what a bad jam. Cullen Green.
Yeah, that's the joint. That's from
me.
Whitney.
Hey.
I think that's what you meant to say.
Yes.
Hysterical. Yes.
Oh, man.
Soul Savage Radio. We are back, y'all. We just had an interview at the show with Wendy Lee. Thank you again for coming on. And that song is from Stevie Wonder's birthday was yesterday. And I was like, man. I was like, I listen to Stevie Wonder every day. But, yeah, it's a special day. Yesterday was a special day. Shout out to all the DJs on Instagram that did a 24-hour Stevie appreciation. They were spinning Stevie records all day yesterday. And I was like, you know what? We're going to keep them vibes going the next day because Stevie deserves to be appreciated every day. And so that song was from the Woman in the Red soundtrack. It was in 1984. It's one of my favorites, so, like Stevie Wonder songs, like top five, that's one of my favorites. Cause it's just, he has like classic, you know, instrumentation, and then he has like a numerous background singers. Suzette Green from, former members of Supremes is doing background. Lynn Davis, the legendary Lynn Davis was on there, and, plethora of other, background vocalists, and then he had Lenny Castro on there. It's just a fantastic song, fantastic album if you want to revisit it. It's called The Woman in Red soundtrack. Also Dionne Warwick, he has songs on there with her, and he produced the whole Woman in Red soundtrack. It's one of my favorite, one of my childhood favorite soundtracks. And yeah, we're gonna be celebrating Raphael Sadiq. I think I called out the wrong name. I think I mentioned the Raphael Sadiq joint, but yeah, I forgot. She threw me off or whatever at the end, so she had all. I had to redid my list, so she had me looking at the wrong list because she had threw me off, making that joke at the end. I was like, where are we going right now? I was like, I thought this was supposed to be a clean comedy. She went all the other way, but yeah, I appreciate it for, these jokes. But yeah, we're going to be celebrating Stevie Wonder, and then the Raphael Sadiq song, Stevie Wonder is featured on there. So I was like, it'd be perfect because I was going to do the whole show Stevie Wonder, but I'm like, we can still do that because this is a Stevie Wonder feature. I think it's at the end of the show, Raphael Sadiq's song off of his The Way I See It album. But yeah, we're going to celebrate both of their birthdays because great producers, great songwriters, singers, you know, they contributed to the culture. And then, yeah, I was just prepping my mood up because last weekend, what? It was just too much. It was like back-to-back, you know, passings of, you know, Andre Harrell, Rest on the Him. I plan on doing a Uptown appreciation show. I'm going to do it later in the show that I'm going to get a couple of Uptown record heads to come on so we can really talk about it. And, Andre Harrell's legacy. But yeah, man, that one kind of blew me away last week. And then, that following day it was Little Richard and Betty Wright. Little Richard and Andre Harrell the same day. And then the next day it was Betty Wright. And I was like, oh man, this is it. We can't do it. I was like, this is too much. And then, you know, I gotta, you know, watching people's live. They was doing tributes. And then, I think Jill Scott and Erykah Badu did a Versus with Timbaland and Swiss Beats once, and that one pepped me up. And then when I got that, when Betty Wright, I was feeling good that night. I was in a good space. You know, they tributed Andre Harrell on there, but then they went to the next following morning. It was like first news. I didn't even want to believe it because it wasn't enough sources confirming it. But then when one of her relatives confirmed it, I was like, this is really what's going on in 2020? I was like, this is what we got to deal with during the quarantine. But yeah, I was definitely in my feelings last weekend. But I have no, I went to Savvy Updates, but I really want to go to Will's segment because it's just been a whirlwind these past few weeks, and I'm just trying to get my head straight. But Whitney, you got anything before we go to the rage?
No. Wendy, I'm sorry. Please, go on.
Whitney, what, sir, are you? You called
her
Wendy twice.
Somebody.
I know. You know.
I'm sorry.
Somebody
in the area.
Right. I don't know what's going on with Will.
Whitney. I'm having too much fun.
Whitney.
Clearly. I'm sorry.
Clearly,
dear.
Whitney.
Dearest Whitney, do you have anything to say?
No, I didn't. You good.
Okay. Hey, look, I'm ready. If you guys are ready, the rage is ready.
Yeah, I'm ready to go. Go
Let's
ahead,
get
Will.
It.
The radio.
Oh, your boy is up to it again. Oh, great job. We're doing a great job. More testing than anybody in the entire world. We got the best test in the world. Oh, my God. Hey, don't look the other way, because I'm trying to steal the scientists from Germany because I want to capture it all for myself. Yep. Hydrochloric King. You don't hear him say anything about that anymore. Oh, go and inject yourself. I tell you what, if you are a Republican and you believe anything this guy says, just go on and do it. Hey, guess what? I just found out all the bleach is gone in the local neighborhood stores here. I wonder what the hell is going on. Misinformation. Vaccines, no vaccines. Oh, there's a remedy, no remedy. Oh, governors, I am the balls. Hey, it's absolute right here. Nope. Hey, look here. You guys have to do it for yourself. Hey, it doesn't matter that I'm competing against you to buy up all the masks in the world, because guess what? It's our stockpile. It's not the state's stockpile. And I'm going to ship a whole bunch of these things over to China and over to Russia. The public. All racist. This cat showed up. Did I say this last week? At a local supermarket with a KKK hood on. Oh, then. Couple of days later, right there in San Diego, California. I thought you guys thought a little bit better than that. Hey, you had these doggone masks on with SWAT stickers. What the hell? Oh, by the way, you knucklehead AR-15 small stem carrying people are going to storm the state capitol with AR-15s. Imagine 100 black dudes showing up at the Capitol, any Capitol, anywhere in the United States with AR-15. What do you think is going to happen? Okay. All right. Hey, boys, we boys. U.S. versus China. Okay, China said, no, Trump, it started over there. Okay. Well, let's throw out some facts. Okay. We have over one-third of the cases in the world. 5% of the population of the entire world, and you have one-third of the cases, yet over 25% of the deaths. Okay, you have more than the place that you said it started. I don't know. We have to find out, have to get more facts. Okay, so a couple of things. If it started in China, and they've got less than 2,000, or I believe they have more than that, deaths in there. Okay, everything is underestimated, folks, because these guys are politicians and they are all crooks. Hey, speaking of, Senator Burr, and you might be in a little bit of trouble, buddy, along with some of your co-hosts out there for insider trading. You know, when this COVID-19 thing came down, you sold your stocks, didn't you? Oh, remember Martha Stewart? But Burr, you might have to meet Bubba. Oh, don't drop the soap. Anyway, moving right along. World cases. Russian. Oh, my goodness. Oh, there's an outbreak. Oh, well, there has been an outbreak. And you know, Trump, Putin, same cats. All right. Yee over in China. Oh, Young. Oh, he recovered from something. Came back. They said that he had a surgery. Something that non-related to COVID-19. But who knows that? Guns. Guns. It's a damn shame that we have to keep reliving what's going on here as far as blacks being gunned down. Ain't no joke here, okay? You know what happened? April over there in Georgia, and you got these rednecks that's going to chase him down the street because in broad daylight, jogging, okay? Yo, well, he looked like that boy that stole my gun about 2 or 3 weeks ago. Oh, really? So you're going to jump, you and your redneck son's going to jump in a truck, follow this guy down the street, cut him off, and for what? And confront him with a gun, and then kill him. Wow. And the cat behind, there's still a story behind that who recorded the entire thing. Boy, there's a whole lot going there. Without that tape, it would have never come to light. Oh, come to, speak of it, this clown who murdered this man, he was hugging Governor Kemp in Georgia. I wonder what's happening there. And they also say he never had a license. He never had a license as a police officer. Contrary to what you guys believe or what you heard, he's never had a license to arrest anyone. So there's a lot of things going on there. And 45, what did he say? Oh, he looks like a nice guy. I saw him in his tuxedo. But I want to see more tape. What do you need to see? Oh my goodness, it is getting absolutely nuts out here. These guys are going crazy. And Gooseneck McConnell, this clown wants to cut Social Security. He also says, I don't want to bail out for the blue states. Well, guess what? Your state is the poorest state in the nation. And who's been getting a bailout but you? All right? Yeah. Lindsey Graham, you haven't heard anything about left shoe, okay? Yeah, something wrong with that cat anyway. But anyway, boy, this is my segment of 6 minutes of rage. Q Lynn, Whitney, I need comments. I need to take a deep breath.
Wow. You need to take a deep breath because I think you...
The one. I heard that one. It didn't feel deep enough.
Right.
Might need to.
Right.
I'm telling you.
Yeah, hold another one.
It makes you mad. Hey, these guys, they're underplaying everything. But the question I'm going to throw to both of you. I don't know where it started. We don't know where it originated. And nobody, you know the scary thing about it is nobody know really what this thing is. They said it didn't affect children at one time. At one time, you had black people running around and says, hey, we've got the antibodies. We can't get it. All right, and it's killing people in nursing homes. It's gotten all in. It's everywhere. How in the world did it get from China to a damn prison over here in the United States? How in the world did it get over there in Redneck, Alabama, from China? I want to know. Now, Cuomo in New York says it didn't come from China. He said his known cases came from Europe. Who's telling the truth? And I think that's why people are panicking, because nobody knows really what's going on. It's really crazy. So, my question to you guys, how in the world can you have more cases than anybody in the United States? You can Italy, look at Germany, look at France, look at the UK, and all combined, the United States has more deaths than all of them combined, and more cases combined. United States got 1.4 million cases. Combined, those four countries I named, is about 1.1.
At this point, it's just a matter of getting the vaccination, which they're probably not going to have until next year. So it's still going to be deadly. At the end of the day, it's a virus that is attacking your whole body, because at first they were saying it was your respiratory system. Now, come to find out, it's attacking all over. And I guess however severe low your immune system is, if your immune system can't fight it off, I guess it's just working on people differently. Some people have had it and they got negative results, and then they come back positive because they've got it again some kind of way. But yeah, it's completely spread throughout the U.S., and whether or not dependent on your population plays a factor into it as well, but it's people that are being affected by it. So it's just a matter of getting the vaccination. That's where you're going to see the difference.
And yeah. Q-Lan, I got a question for you. I got a question for you, Q-Lan. In Oklahoma, you guys have meat packing plants there, don't you? Don't you have some meat
packing?
Okay, and
they have like all kind of plants there, but yeah.
Right. And do you know that a lot of those meat packing plants, these people are sick, and this clown ordered them back to work. So I don't know. I thought you might have more information on that locally, but there are a lot of people.
Oh no! Okay. In terms of Oklahoma, it's mostly known for gas and oil. That's like majority where the money comes in. So it's not necessarily meat departments, unless it's like it's usually like local based, unless they go to like certain grocery stores.
Okay.
But the chain, it doesn't necessarily affects Oklahoma, but Oklahoma for sure is just gas and oil companies. So anything affected might be just the gas stations. I know they went, when it first happened, they started going down. Like, gas was looking like it was, like, I felt like I was back in 97. I was
Come
like,
on.
I
yeah.
gas, like, it was under night. It was like certain gas stations,
what?
Depending on what city or town you were in Oklahoma, it was like 89 cents.
You
for
are,
gas.
You are
like,
kidding
what?
Me.
99
But then one gas, like, gas station, I go, yeah.
You're
the
kidding
one
me.
I frequent the most, it was 99 cents. I got gas, I filled up, I was under half a gas because I was traveling. And I filled up on $8. I swear to God, I'm not
Are
joking.
Are you kidding
I'm
me?
Not $8 for 8 gallons. I'm not,
okay.
even, I'm not even bullshitting. Like,
oh,
I was serious.
Okay.
I was like, what the fuck? I was like, I never got $8 filled up on gas.
Okay, hey, let me tell, can I tell you and witness
was,
something? Let me tell you and witness something right now. Earlier this year in January, I was in Los Angeles, California, and I had just left the business conference, and I'm saying, okay, and I'm like maybe 90 miles away from Los Angeles, okay, 90 miles away, something like that, and I said, look, there's no way I'm going to get on the freeway in California and run out of gas. You don't want that to happen. No, not out here, okay? Hell, your ass get run over. So you don't want to do that. So anyway, I stopped by to get some gas. It was $5.99 a gallon. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Are you listening to me? I don't think it's ever been that high in Oklahoma. $5.99 a gallon.
Yeah, it ain't.
Oh, wow. Yeah,
okay.
Wow.
Now, since this oil crisis, now you're talking about 99 cents. The lowest I've seen is $2.59 out here in California right now, today. And I'm thinking that is a bargain.
This state is built upon debt. Oh, go ahead, Whitney, my bad. I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, I was saying it's like now, as of yesterday when I went out, it was $1.39.
I'll take it.
It's still low.
It's still low. Yeah, it went up. But yeah, I was like, man, I was like, I'm a rebel in this little bit, because I was like, gas has been like this since I was like, since 1999. I was like, God, gas ain't never been this low. But yeah, when it's like gas to oil companies, and a lot of them were laid off, I guess that's what you call when you temporary laid off or whatever, because they weren't technically fired yet. It was just until, you know, they got the clear to go back to work or whatever, so they lowered the price because that's what affected.
Let me tell you why.
No money to spend.
Let me tell you why, and I don't think people are talking about it. There's something going on with OPEC and Trump. And what they're doing is they're dumping more gas than they need right now. So that brings that you've got an oversupply right now, okay? And the demand is low, and that brings the price down. But there's something going on, folks, and Trump is not happy about it, and Russia is not happy about it. There's something going on between those three. OPEC, United States, and Russia. I promise you. Alright, so anyway, back to you guys. Great show. Q-Lynn and Whitney.
Yes, well, thank you for that, Ray. Yeah, I had enough to add to that. It was just, to me, it's like watching the news now is like watching just straight foolishness, and it's like I can't take in anymore. So it's like, whatever, dude. It's like, to me, he don't even exist in my mind anymore, because I'm already like wanting to fast forward to November. And it's like, oh my God, this is just too, now it's too long of a process now because we in the house. Mm-hmm. And so I feel like the move to November is like taking way too long because I'm so tired of this dude. Like, this is going to, like, if we get 4 more years of this dude, I'm like, I don't know. I'm going to constantly go to London or something. Because it's like,
I'm sure.
This shit is ridiculous. I'm out of work forever. I don't know what the hell to do. I'm really just distraught. At first, I was cool, but it's like, okay, this shit ain't cute no more. I'm ready to go. But then it's like, I'm sad, like, every week, because it's like somebody I know, a family member is affected by COVID-19, and it's like, this shit is too much. I feel like with everything, with every certain individuals and some of the ones that we know publicly, like some of the musical artists that passed away, it like really took the sales out of me. It's like trying to focus on that, and it's just too much. It's too much darkness. I've been trying to find the little glimmers of light or whatever, but it's just too heavy and too dark to like really get into it. Cause I remember I went to the grocery, I think it was I don't know if it was last week or the week before, but I was just at the grocery store, and it was an elderly woman. She had a cane, and she had, like, I think a couple of grocery bags on her. And usually I try to help those, but then it's like, now I have to be conscious of, like, the COVID and all that stuff. And it was like, man, and I just watched her, and it was me and one of the owners was going to come out and help her. And we were just watching her get in the car, making sure she didn't fall getting there. And I promise you, like, I went home, like, I don't live that far from the grocery store. I went home, and I, like, cried, like, severely. Because that shit, like, oh, I just really wanted to help her. And I was like, oh, my God. I was like, I can't help her. I was like, I can't, like, help her in the store. I can't help get her groceries. And it just really bothered me. And I started crying. I was like, oh, my God, this shit is, like, the worst right now. And so I've been just trying to, like, find some kind of light or whatever. So it's like people that are having birthdays or whatever. I've been spending way too much. People were talking about they spending money and stuff shopping online. I'm like, I've been giving way too much money. Cause people been having birthdays or whatever, and they be putting their Amazon wish list or whatever. So I just been giving, like, okay, what you want on your list? Okay, you want this album? Okay, boom. You want this little decorative thing for your house? Okay, let me send it to you. And I'll be forgetting about it, and I've been getting messages like, I'm like, oh, shit, I forgot I sent that last week, because I just be doing whatever.
You got to keep track of it.
Yeah, I don't be keeping track of it. I just be like, oh, yeah, that's what they, it was like, whatever was like a scavenger hunt for my name, because they didn't know my real name. I forget I don't put my real name out there like that, so they don't know that my real what my real name is. And so they was like, oh, that's you. They like asking people that know me. I'm like, oh, I don't know, is that serious? I just be throwing the gifts away. I'll never send, like, hey, I just sent you an Amazon gift, like, it's gonna be in the mail. So I'm like, nah, I just did it. And I was like, oh, yeah, I forgot I sent that. But yeah, I don't regret doing it, because it's the only thing that's like making me happy. Because it's like, at this point, like, yeah, if I can, like, virtually help somebody, like, that's the space I'm in right now, because that's the only joy I'm getting. And then some of the virtual hangout meetings, talking to people on Zoom and whatnot, is the only thing kind of lifting my spirits, because everything else is just too dark and heavy. And it's like you're dealing with other stuff you're trying to deal with emotionally, then you got to deal with this quarantine on top of it. I mean, it's not that bad.
Right.
It's just, I just want my schedule to go back to normal. Some kind of normalcy, but just realizing, like, we already talked about this, like, a couple months ago, that they were going to extend it back to August. We told y'all. But now, it's actually happened. Now, I think California's governor, he said that he ain't opening back up to August. But really, it's still going to be out there until they find a vaccination for it. That's just the truth of the matter. Like, it's not going to go away until, I mean, the numbers are looking decent, but still. And then I just read from the CDC, reported that Trump's trying to get them to lie about the numbers and whatnot. So it's like you're trying to deal with this, and then you've got corruptness in the administration. It's like it's never going to get fixed until they find a vaccination for it. And then even then, they're going to try to hike the price up. And the only thing they're trying to do now is trying to make it extend to where they're going to have to pay out because even the test getting it is over $1,200 or something like that. And they don't even want to make it free. So it's like when you're dealing with that in a corrupt government, it's like a recipe for disaster, what we got right now. And the only thing people need to be worried about is getting a vaccination. And if they open up things still going into the summer and fall, they still going to have to put precautions in there because it's still going to keep spiking until they get rid of it. Because it's not like what your dumbass president was saying about being a flu. Like, it's not like that. It's going to be there until you find a vaccination. Because it's deadly to some people. So, yeah, that shit, it was too much. But to a lighter note, these versus battles have been pretty amazing. I read some of the emails. I guess we could read some of the emails because I had some of them pulled up.
Yeah.
They were asking questions about some of the things. I think we could kill some of the time with that because we still got a little bit of time left. I think we could spend the rest of the show.
That's a good idea.
Look at emails, because I honestly haven't really been paying attention to some of the news, and then some people asked us questions about certain stuff that they think should be in regular news, and it's like, I don't really pay attention to popular news topics like that. If it so happens to fit with whatever it is that we value or whatever, then we'll talk about it. But stuff like sending me stuff about 50 Cent and his son, I don't really keep up with that. Like, I know vastly information on that whole dynamic. Someone, I want to pull up their name. They were telling me about what did I think about 50 Cent and his son. And from what I know, that 50 Cent just doesn't claim him as a son, which I think is odd because he looks just like him. But that factor of it, I don't necessarily pay attention. If you think he should be in Raggedy News, I'm trying to pull up who sent it. Let me see. Somebody, Michelle, that's what her username is. Michelle, I don't pay attention, so if you feel strongly that he should be in Raggedy News, sure, we can put him in Raggedy News. Are you familiar with that? Unless Whitney's familiar with it. I'm unfamiliar with the whole backstory, so I don't know.
No,
but
I'm
just
not
knowing that he,
I'm not on that one.
The fact that he doesn't claim his son is, I don't care what he did. Like, that's your son, dude.
Right.
Like, that's kind of odd that you don't you don't claim your son that looks like you. But yeah. I think it's mostly deal with, from what I vaguely remember, it's something to do with his mother's child, his son's mother or whatever, but I'm like, that's your fault. You create that situation. So I still feel like that's on him, but yeah, I don't pay attention to it. But thank you for anyway for suggesting we put him in Raggedy News. And then also somebody named, I don't want to read that one. It's too long. Let me see. Marita, hopefully I said your name right. Marita asked the question in terms of the show we did with Junior, World of Show. This is a show he was on. I think it was the last time he was on, talking about watching the verses, and they said that we forgot. Marita said we forgot T-Pain versus Lil Jon, and we did. I was going off the top of my head, so I didn't really write all the notes down for all that. But, yeah, they basically, just to sum up the question, they said that we forgot to talk about it, and she said she thought that was the best one. I don't think it was the best one. I think it was a good memory because they had great songs that came out during that time period. I think they still hold up, you know, but I just look at it for what it was, that time period. And they still took some great songs. I revisited two of their albums, and for the most part, I wouldn't say the whole album goes, but it just takes me back to, you know, my high school days. It was a good memory for that. But it ain't like, oh, like this was, because they had a few hits. They got classics or whatever, but it's like for their whole entire bodies of albums, like they were okay. But it wasn't, like, when I listened to it, it's like, oh, that was, like the last time I heard those songs was when they played it. You know, it's not something I revisit, like, every day, because I have, like, but it's like better music, unless I'm like at a club or something, and they play those songs all the time in the club.
Right.
Those are like go-to club songs, but I don't go to the club that often, or social, and especially now I don't go that often, but that's the only time I would hear a T-Pain or Lil Jon song is at a party. But yeah, it's not something I listen to at home. So, but yeah, it was okay for what it was. If you think it was dope, then that's cool. But yeah, for me it was okay. And then, pull up another question. This is from Carly. Another question to that Junior show. Junior's word, so. Oh, let me pull it up again. I didn't lost it. Basically asking us, do we think. Let me see. Do we think that even the music to yourselves is. I'm scanning through here. I'm reading it. It's a lot in here. Basically said, thank you for talking about the music, the 2000s R&B. Do you think that people spend too much time on the 90s music instead of, because that was a pretty good album. I remember Ashanti, I remember Amory, that was a good album, Amory's album. And they basically asking, do we feel like 2000s R&B is forgotten? Honestly, yeah. Sometimes I just think people just focus on, I think these new kids now, they just, you know, they just focus on 90s music, and that's everybody's go-to. I think 2000s R&B gets a bad rap, but there's a lot of great R&B music. That's actually why I'm glad that this email mentioned that, because I was actually planning on playing 20th anniversary albums like all year on this show, because we already played Tony's The Heat album that turned 20, Carl Thomas's Emotional album that turned 20 this year, also Joe's My Name Is Joe album turned 20, then Gerald LaVert's G album turned 20, rest on to him. But yeah, it was a lot of great 2000s R&B. I think people just focus on a certain era, and 2000s was like a tricky time because people, you know, were trying to keep up with making a pop record, and so a lot of it had a hip-hop slash R&B feel to it, and so it was a good majority of that, but a lot of it that was, there was a lot of true R&B that came out during the early and mid-2000s. I think people just, it just came to a certain point to where, like the dance music, like we mentioned, Lil Jon and T-Pain, when they came out, that started, they started making that kind of music to where it was more hip-hop driven than R&B. But it was a lot of, like I said, Carl Thomas, Joe, they were still making albums through there. It was just a matter of people not focusing their attention on the R&B. They started switching into the pop records. And I think it was a generational thing. It was a generational term right there, because in the 90s, the reason why you had so much diversity happening was because those things could all coexist together. Like a Maxwell album could coexist with a Teddy Riley record. You know what I mean? It was two different sounds, like Tony, Mint Condition. Those were all different R&B sounds, but they could all coexist together. I think with R&B in the 2000s, it was just straight R&B and hip hop. That's it. It was no, there was no room for anything diverse other than if you wasn't meshing R&B and hip hop together. If it didn't have a hip hop driven, if you didn't have a rapper featured on your song, then it wasn't paid attention to, and that's sort of what happened. There, they lost focus of that. But yeah, people forget about 2000s R&B, but it's a lot of great R&B. If you lived during that time period, then you know it was great R&B. Like, we had, hip hop, you missed it, Whitney, because we did the whole show on hip hop. I was talking with, shout out to Kill Man, talking to him about hip hop. He does the Apartment 5B podcast. Y'all can check that out. We're going to have him back on very soon. But yeah, me and him talked about hip hop, and we were talking about the origins of hip hop, and we sort of got into that conversation talking about different artists that that sort of the groups thing. I guess I could kind of compare that to R&B groups, hip hop. I think groups in general, the way they did groups back in the day, it was simply focused on one thing. As the decades went by, they stopped focusing on like in a group, and then it was just, okay, who's about to go solo? Like it was like a jump and start to somebody's solo career at some point. And I think that all started with like Motown, with Diana Ross and whatnot. That was like the thing, and then you had other artists under the label that were part of groups like Smokey Robinson and the Miracles eventually, you know, and then progressing into the 70s, you had the Commodores, Lionel Richie. Lionel Richie went solo fast. You know what I mean? And then, I remember I was telling y'all about that Midnight Special, show. I got all the DVDs, well, with the Soul Axe on it. I got all the DVDs from 1973 to 1980. And one of the years, I think it was 75 or 76, Lionel Richie, it was the Commodores, and they were doing their hits, Zoom and whatnot, all the classic hits, Brick House, whatever. And, he was clearly the star of the show. Like, it was like Lionel Richie starring Commodores. Like, it was clear, like, that was his destiny, was to go solo. Because all of them had the energy. Same with Patti LaBelle and the LaBelles. Like, when they performed Lady Marmalade, she took over the whole thing. Like, she was singing over everybody. It was, and I didn't quite enjoy it, because it was, like, clear that she was trying to, you know,
make some
be a solo act. Yeah, and same with Teddy Pendergrass, with Melvin, and, like, his name ain't even in front of the group, but once he started singing solo work, it's like, oh, that's his group now. Like, it had that energy. Like, if you watch the live tapings of it, I'm like, oh, all these people singing like they the only one on stage. The same with the guy from the Spinners, Wayne, I forgot his name, but he did most of the lead songs and the Spinners or whatever, the classic songs or whatever. It was one song they were doing a duet with one of the Sledge Sisters, and he only had one singing part at the end of it, and he started singing over singing over both of them that had the duet part in the song. I was like, my dude, what are you doing right now? That's what I was thinking watching it. I was like, well, clearly he want to go solo. But yeah,
letting them know.
You see that? Exactly. And, but yeah, groups going into, there was a lot of people be like, man, why the groups, I got a few of those questions. It's somebody like Jill, Kiara, or Kiara, how do you say your name? Sorry about that. I apologize if I say it wrong, Kiara or Kiara. Melanie, they asked the same question about, groups, that they want, groups to come back, or what group we think should come back. And it's like, for me, I feel like that's, I'm not at that stage of life, I feel like that's some young people stuff. It's like, you know, that was like, when groups were popping, it was like everybody had their favorite in the group, you know what I mean? Because it was mostly, you bought the album. It's just a different formula. That stuff doesn't apply today. Like, for me, I can't really take concepts like that and try to put it in today's world. And I feel like certain parts of nostalgia that we should just leave back in the day. Like, with groups, it's cool if that's a collective, if you can make that work, if everybody has their role. But it's at some point to where one person in the group, you know, concept of what they want to do in the group is going to change. Whether it be contract-wise, money-wise, or they just want to go solo, or they just don't feel it anymore, they just want to do something else, it always comes up. Just like, what is it, Fifth Harmony or something like that? That's the most recent group. They came from a talent show or whatever, from the X Factor, because I remember seeing that. They were Simon Cowell's group on X Factor. And they were pretty good. They went through the whole process. They won the whole thing. And then, you know, I was shockingly surprised that they became a hit group. But then eventually one of them named Normani or something like that, or another girl in the group went solo. Like, they weren't even together that long and went solo. And it's like, that's what happened. And there's another group, June's Diary, like, they don't collectively do a lot of work together. And they soon will probably go solo. So, and they're R&B group mostly. June's Diary, and I think Kelly Rowland created that group on her docu-TV show on BET, Destiny Fulfilled, or whatever that show was called. I forgot the name of it. But, yeah, I think that stuff is just, you know, for lack of better words, played out. So it's like it doesn't even make sense to want that now.
I
think
I don't
people
see
just want to relive
like
nostalgia.
That.
Yeah, I don't think it would.
I don't think it would work.
Yeah.
Like that. Like, people would have
to
want to DM groups again, and I feel like we would have seen it by now. And, I mean, maybe further down the road or something, but I don't see it, like, where it's about to start happening in the next 5-10 years, like, nothing like that. But I could be wrong.
Yeah. It's just past tense. It's just wait. Because, again, you're talking about when groups were popular, when labels had the actual budget and marketing in place to create those for groups. They created the image and had all the songs lined up. They had the perfect A&R. Like, those things, not saying those don't exist now, but it's only so many labels that can provide that. And a lot of those artists from back in the day, they went through artist development. Like, they didn't just put you out there. You know what I mean? It was a process for you being put out. Like, you know, it was months before you got on a TV show, like whatever the hottest TV show, and even those platforms, like, okay, you release a song and then you work it on certain TV shows, like it was sitcoms, like people promoted there. You had a lot of groups that would perform their song. If they had a hit single, they would perform it on TV shows. I'm not saying TV shows don't exist now, but that formula of promoting an artist doesn't necessarily work anymore, or people are not implementing that because they don't have those people that were over the A&R and over the things at those label heads that put those in place, because it's way different now. Now it's a more internet-driven base, and I think it's a good and a bad thing, but I feel like just those old concepts, some of that has to go, because those play into what doesn't work anymore. And if you're going to be a group, I feel like you have to have the things in place, and it's so many. I know, I've heard of a different, and I'm saying R&B groups, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that R&B groups don't exist now. I'm just saying that the wanting a whole bunch at one time is probably not ideal, and it's probably not going to happen. I'm just saying for people that think, man, when is it going to come back? It's never. It's probably not going to come back because you're looking at a whole different music industry from 20 years ago. But yeah, thank you for that question. They all asked. They were really hyped up about that show. They would want me to play more music from that Carl Thomas album. I probably will later on this year, but I just played one. It was only so many I could play during the show, but they appreciated it. Thank y'all for appreciating us playing those Joe records, and I think Carl Thomas I played, and Tony Braxton. It was just so many. Those are the reason why I played more Joe, because those were actually my favorites from that album. I was like, I gotta play these. And so, but yeah, thank y'all for liking those, and then also the hip-hop conversation. Y'all showed me so much love on Twitter, man. Shout-out to Kiel again last week for coming on. That was a fantastic show. We spent the whole show talking about hip-hop, and it was just fun. And I wanted somebody on. We were talking about hip-hop groups, and we were just talking about the trajectory and the culture of it all. But that was a topic that I never really talked about with hip-hop groups, because we talked about our favorite MCs on the show before, but I never really got into the groups. I wanted to get into it a little bit more because I heard people talking about who their favorite hip-hop groups were on Twitter, and I thought that would be a good topic. So, yeah, once again, thank you, Kiel, for coming on. I appreciate it. I'm going to be uploading that show very, very soon. But, yeah, that was just a fun time last week. I'm glad you missed it, Whitney. It was a good time. We had a really great hip-hop conversation.
Yeah, I was locked out again. I was locked out of that conversation.
Listen, man, if you was going to talk about Will Smith being your favorite gangster rapper again, I don't know, you know how Kiel would have took that. The floor was open. Like, it was just a, you know, hip-hop. We was talking hip-hop. I actually want to, I'm going to play one where I'm going to play all 80s hip-hop. I'll probably have that show. I just thought of that. I'm probably going to have some more on, and we're going to play some. Because if you would have said Fresh Prince, and Jazzy Jeff, I'm the MC, he's the DJ album, then you was talking right, but you didn't say that. You said just the two of us, and I'm like, sir, we need you not to say that again out loud. it's a cool song, but when you talk about, yeah, Fresh Prince, that's one of my top favorites. I think when you talk about 80s rap, like his was Brand New Funk. What? That's my album. That bass. I mean, that's my song. That bass on Brand New Funk is, because he puts a James Brown sample in there. Jazzy Jeff is funky. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
It would have been, yeah, but we were just having fun. Like, we went to the origins of hip hop because I wanted to have those conversations and not really have a debate. We were just talking about music because he understands it, and we were talking about how the young kids listen to music, and it's like they act like they get like a little bit of knowledge, and they try to flex and whatnot. They be like, "Yo, this person," like I told y'all before, Outkast. Like they were talking about Outkast's Southern Playalistic album. It's like, "Yo, that album went triple platinum." Like, what you talking about? Nobody talks about it. Literally, that album was on fire. Like their first three albums were insane when they first came out. Like it just be like people like that don't, if you haven't experienced, and it's not saying, and Kiel made a great point because I saw him say it on Twitter before, but he said it on the show last week. He said it's not the fact that young people can't comment on music before them. It's just if you don't have the concept of what was going on and why certain artists were impactful, you have no clue why they're impactful. It's not people saying it just because. It's like, no, they lived it. Especially if it's somebody that's way older that was he's in his 40s or in his 40s. He said he was born in 74. So what year was that? That's what Kiel said. He was born in 74. So he was probably like 10 or 11 when KRS-One came out. So he was there, knowledgeable. Like he's talking about his taste. Like he lived through, like he said, out of his own mouth, he said, I was alive when these things didn't exist, like when hip-hop didn't exist. You know what I mean? So he has a concept of it. So you can't understand the concept of hip-hop and the origins of it if you didn't live when it didn't exist. It's that simple. And that's the heart. And then with I was going to talk about it a little bit. But just for the people, I'm not going to put it, it's not in Raggedy or Saturday News. I just want to talk about people on the internet, man. I just wanted to get on this a little bit. When y'all are paying tribute to these artists, man, whether they're living or passed on, I just want y'all to just talk about their greatness. I don't feel like adding, nope, this person gets enough credit. I feel like if you're talking about it, that's the credit. Like, I don't feel like you have to add that to the sentence to give props. Just say what you got to say, because that's kind of irritating me now. Because it's like, I've seen people years talk about certain artists, like when Little Richard passed away, and they were like, they never got, I'm like, that's true in a sense. It was. But it's like, for me, like, I spend hours upon hours editing videos and whatnot, and I just put it up there, and I just talk about how great they are. Like, I wrote so many different appreciation posts for whoever, and I just posted on my Instagram or posted on the website. And it's like, but I'm not going to, like, you know, because there's a lot of people that I got a lot of traffic on Instagram and on my SoulStatus.com website from people looking at my appreciation post that I've done. And I'm like, that's what it's there for, because I've already done the work. You don't have to announce something in that. Because I feel like it takes away from the person's art form. Because I don't think people categorize themselves like that. Is that too much of a different perspective, Whitney? Because to me, that's, I just don't feel like it's needed to add that in there. That's just my issue. I just feel like if you want to show appreciation, just say it. I don't feel like you have to say, this person didn't get their credit, this person didn't get their credit, because I feel like some of them did. And, you know, the reason why I say that is because I lived through a time to where the Image Awards and different award shows did pay them tribute. And it's right. Like, because people don't have access to that or wasn't alive when these things were created, that they just, it's out of sight, out of mind. And it's like, no, that's why I pull up old video clips and of performances, so people be like, yo, they did that. Like, when Mary J. Blige first got hers, they was like, man, they should have been gave her one. I'm like, they did it, like, over 20 years ago.
Right.
On Image Awards, they gave her an award. Like, she was, like, 15 years in, and they gave her an award. And like, the same thing with Chaka Khan and Pat. I'm like, people have been giving them awards, like, for decades. You know what
right.
I mean? And so, I just feel people just, like, saying that, just say it. And it's kind of annoying.
I think people just don't go... I don't think people, like, pay attention to, they don't go and look for the information. Like, I've said multiple times when we've came on the show, like, sometimes I don't know certain works of certain people. So I go and I look those people up. Like, I check for different interviews they've done. I look at, like, just their history in general. I just do a basic Google search. And anybody who, like, Mary J. Blige, and, you know, on the topic of her, you could type in Mary J. Blige's name and type in awards into it, and, like, Google will bring you back a list. I just think people skip some of these basic things to where they could actually see, like, yes, this person did accomplish quite a bit, and they were recognized for it. So going back to your point, I do think it's a good idea just to simply state, like, what it is you're going to say. Say what it is that you appreciate them for and let that be that. I think that's a much better way to, like, give that, but at the same time, I don't think people look stuff up, and so they just don't know, and so they say things,
right.
And it makes them, you know, look kind of ignorant sometimes.
It's like, you forgot about them, you don't give them enough credit, I've given them credit, it's
right.
Like, that's
like,
what I'm thinking, it's like, you don't appreciate it, it's like, don't
right.
put that on me, I've been talking about, you know, I wrote a whole post giving a tribute to Little Richard, like, 2 years ago. And I've been, like, any of my favorite artists or those that contributed to music. All you have to do is go to my Instagram, and you're going to see a whole page full of different musicians, that black musicians that have contributed to, or either the architects of it, or they've inspired somebody that has followed the same trajectory, like a Faith Evans or Mary J. Blige. You're going to see me talk about their album anniversaries and whatnot. That's the whole reason
right.
to create Soul Savviness, to give tribute to those that I feel deserved it, or if I feel like they didn't get as much, I put those in there, like an Angela Winbush or whatnot. When we talk about on this show, I think we've been doing this for 3 years, and I've been doing album anniversaries, birthday anniversaries, every show. Like, anytime it's someone's birthday,
right.
It's not even that I got a list of their names, and I just remember it just because I know what, like, when I know it's May, I know a good, like, Stevie Wonder's birthday, James Brown's birthday, I can remember that. If I can't remember specifically the date, I'll Google it. Philip Bailey. Shout out to Philip Bailey. I give him, birthday appreciation. He saw it. He loved it. And I'll even do it for that. I know in April is Herbie Hancock. It's, you know, all those different, Louis Johnson. He passed away, you know, a few years ago. One of my favorite bass players. I just remember their birthdays. When we get to May, you know, Busta Rhymes' birthdays next week, I'm gonna do a hip hop tribute to him. I'm gonna post it on Instagram and whatnot. Because those are my favorite, those are my favorite, like when we get into June, it's gonna be Faith Evans, Ice Cube. Like I remember it off the top of my Marcus Miller, one of my favorite bass players. Like I can just go off the top of my head. We go to July, Gerald LaVert. Like I can remember their birthdays off, I know their birthdays around that era. Yeah. So it's like, yeah, it's just stuff that I keep in my head. It's not anything, like if I don't know the specific date, then I'll Google it. But I know their birthdays around that time.
You will Google it. And make sure, and then you'll go ahead and leave, like, your appreciation. That's what I'm saying. That's the step that I'm saying.
Right, exactly.
If it, in general, they don't think about that. They just get caught up in this narrative that all of these great artists were never appreciated. And it's like, but they were, and you're showing that you don't truly appreciate them. If you can't just take a few minutes to go look that up, because a lot of artists did get things. But, you know, the landscape looks different now. I used to stay up to watch like all the award shows because we didn't have social media. So like I was watching the award show just to go and like talk about it somewhere else. I was watching it because that was a live moment happening on TV, so I could find out who was getting what and to see like some new. A lot of times they would have either if not new music, there would be an artist coming through that was new that you didn't know about that you could then go and look up. So, like, with all that stuff looking different now, people just, they hear stuff and they don't go and, like, check it for themselves. So it's like, if you think these artists weren't appreciated, that's on you. You can go and look and, like, see it. And if you don't see what you want to, like, if you don't see that appreciation created, you can create it because we have all types of platforms for you to be able to do that. So...
Soul Savviness is one unabashed plug. Soul Savviness.
That was my whole thing for creating.
I just got tired of people. Like I would go to certain music websites and it's like most of the time I was criticizing the writing because I'm like I wouldn't have wrote it like that. It's like I wasn't thinking that when I was listening to that song. You're not describing the true essence of the song and what's bringing it to life. I'm like, well, fuck it, let me write. And that was my start.
Right.
And it was like, oh man, you're not talking about this musician or this artist's birthday. And I'm not even going to try to claim this, but I feel like I'm one of the ones that started it. I feel like it's one guy, I think he does a whole bunch of them. He has his Twitter's called Stephen James or something like that. But he started following me and started posting the same stuff I did because I was doing that. And then he took it and started doing it as well. And now everybody does appreciate it. But I feel like I was the first ones on Twitter because I started Twitter like in like 2008, 2009. And that's all I was doing birthday appreciation. And then now it's like a wave of, not saying that there's nothing wrong with that because you appreciate who you appreciate. Right. But it's a lot of people be trying to take claim to it like they was the first ones to do it. And it's like, nah, everybody, it's different people that have been on Twitter doing that thing with it. But yeah, it's just frustrating. I don't even think as a music journalist, because I put my work out there, and clearly the people are searching for it, because as soon as these people passed away, they went to my website to look up my articles or the shows that we've done. It's a lot of people. Look, we mentioned when we did, I think it was one of the first Black Music Month shows I did, like the 2017, we talked about it, Uptown Records and their... The legendary Andre Harrell and L.A. Reid and Babyface, what they did with LaFace. I was giving appreciation to Uptown and LaFace. And I think I got over like 300 hits the day he passed away. People looked that up. You know what I mean? Because it's been there.
Yeah.
But since it's topical and they can search, because in the thing I put in there, Andre Harrell, I put his name in there and I put L.A. Reid's and Babyface's name in there. And people searched it, and I just got 300 hits just from that day from people looking up Andre Harrell and looking for a tribute. I'm like, I've been doing it. You know what I mean? We've been doing it on the show.
Right, right.
People slow to find it, but But yeah, it don't frustrate me because I know how the game works. I know that that's how it is. Because it's the same like when Cheryl Lynn got into it with Anita Baker when the aunties was beefing on Twitter. she became relevant within that day on Twitter when it became when Black Twitter took it over, and then I got hits from that. So people didn't know who Cheryl Lynn was, and they went to my website, and I got a bunch of posts on her. And so, yeah, I expect it. That's how the game go. It don't frustrate me. It's just know, hey, I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. Y'all gotta keep up with Soul Savage. But we're gonna go to break real quick, and we're gonna top the show off. And yeah, we're celebrating Stevie Wonder all show. Shout out to Raphael Sadiq. It's his birthday today. But yeah, we celebrate Stevie Wonder's birthday was yesterday. The true icon, the true music royalty. But yeah, Will, if you're ready, we're gonna go to break, and we'll be right back.
Wakes you up when a kiss to start the morning off. In the midst of us, our plans kind of lost. She brings gifts to her grave. Morning rain gently plays her rhythms on the window pane, giving you no clue of when she plans to change, to bring rain. And so you wait to see what she'll do. Is it falling for you? But it breaks your heart in two. And you find it hard over. And she's gone. And she's
from the album Songs in the Key of Life, released September 28th, 1976, by Tamla Records. Music journalist as the culmination of wonders, classic period of recording. Back to you, Q-Lan Green and Whitney on the Soul Savage Show.
Yeah, it's my favorite song off of the Songs of the Key of Life, 1976. The album will turn 44, or 46. I think it will turn 46 in September. Math wasn't my strong suit in the I might fuck that up. I know it's 76.
Look, yeah. Don't worry about it.
I said 76. Okay. It might be 44. I fucked it up. I told you.
That's
what
my strong suit.
In the
40s. Wow,
that's, my college education didn't take me that far. Too, so I didn't pick it up when I was in college.
But Q-Lynn, what a collaboration.
I passed, though. I did good. I was a B-minus student in math.
Hey, that's good.
That makes sense.
Hey,
I just count on my fingers. That's all it is. That's what it means. I get the answer right if I count on my fingers.
At least, look here. No, at least nobody bought. At least nobody bought your education. You earned it.
Right. Exactly. I know, right? Yeah. I wish somebody did, because it would have saved me a whole lot of money. I would already have my degree if I would have bought it. But no. It was 44. I was right. I had to make sure I was right on that. I don't want people to think that I'm a journalist that don't know how to count. That's so weird that people that are good at English excelled in English are not really good at math. Cause I realized that when I was in high school, like all my math teachers couldn't spell. my English teachers couldn't do math. I always realized that. I was like, that's not odd. That, it was always a lacking in one. That's very true. So those email me, hit us up on the show if you think that's true. If your English teachers never knew math and your math teachers never knew English, because I knew my English, I was in algebra 2, and my he didn't know how to spell equation. I forgot what he put. I think he put think you spelled it like equator. Like, dude, that is not a it's not a C in equation. That's not how you spell equation. It's not a C in it. It's not a C in it. Got a spell a B on the thing. I was like, so I don't know if I got this right, because you didn't spell it out right. But yeah, I'm just being serious. That's real. But yeah, man, y'all, thank y'all for tuning in to Soul Tavern's Radio, man. Oh, this is a fun show. Nah, I'm just being serious, man. But yeah, man, shout out to Stevie Wonder, man. Just I feel like the universe just likes playing tricks, because I worked up all the nerves to meet all my favorites this year. I had it planned out, because I know I love going to shows, and since this COVID, like, all my plans of meeting all my favorites this year have been canceled. But I am hoping that, you know, it goes right to where something, I'm going to try to work out something, because I have to meet this man. I have to meet Stevie Wonder. And I've had a couple of times
I did.
To meet him on different occasions. No, I mean, like, really, I want to get down and get down to these records. Because this guy has, like, did, like, I get it, because I played out an album cut. That's called Summer Soft from the Songs of Key of Life album. I have such a Stevie Wonder, like, my Prince head, my Stevie Wonder head, Shaka head are all the same energy. Mm. Like, I don't even like talking about Stevie Wonder, because it's like, it's too deep. Like, people go for the easy cuts, but it's like, when you get to these album cuts, they're like the greatest thing ever. And I listened to almost every Stevie Wonder album past the 90s. I think the only albums I don't, he stopped a little bit after the 90s, but most of it was music compilations of his hit records. But those records are all dope to me, and I listen to every album. People have their go-tos, but I get into like a Stevie fit and a Shaka fit. Those are like my all-time favorites. We've been on this show 3 years, and I think I've done a music appreciation for all these artists since we've been doing this show, and I'm going to keep doing it, because every day, I said this on Twitter some months ago, I said every day is Stevie Wonder Appreciation Day, and I mean it. I think I said Shaka Khan is Appreciation Day every day. Anita Baker, I think I said that as well.
Mm-hmm.
Angela Winbush and Patti LaBelle, Aretha Franklin, like those are all great artists, but every day is Stevie Wonder Appreciation Day. Yeah. I feel like that slashed my savvy heathen talk. But yeah, every day is Stevie Wonder Appreciation Day.
Man.
And also, if I add on another savvy heathen talk, is I'm going to need for y'all to quit trying to speak the negativity of trying to send our favorites off too soon and talk about somebody checking on this. I need y'all quit speaking that into existence before it happens.
For real.
That's real.
Yeah.
Because it's my favorite artist people keep talking about. And then when I do birthday appreciation post, some of them like, oh, you scared me. I thought they died. I'm like, really? All you got to do is read the caption. And it said birthday. So it's not like I led you on to something else, like it's random. Like, no, it's their birthday. That's why I'm giving appreciation.
Well, you know, some people love going.
That's random.
And some people love going to funerals.
They're killing everybody off. I'm like, God, y'all are like the grim reaper of the internet.
Right.
Like, all these negative energy.
Right. Some people love reading the obituaries and going to funerals. Can you believe that?
Yeah. Them the people that be talking like that. I'm like, dude, we don't need none of our legends taken home. They didn't already took three of them within a week. I'm like, we don't need no more of that.
Go over
there.
It
wasn't making me mad. It's still, what? I just want to know why the COVID keeps skipping over this hot Cheeto puff in office. Like, everybody in his White House, in the White House got it, but him. I'm tired of this.
Man,
what is it going to take
crazy.
Over? That's some crazy shit, man. And then Mitch McConnell got it.
What?
That's crazy.
What?
No, I didn't hear that.
Yeah. I didn't know. Yeah.
I heard that Mitch McConnell got it.
Well, you know what?
I heard he got it.
Well, I'm not going to say anything, but Gooseneck, Gooseneck got it.
No,
I'm
promise
sorry.
You there was a media outlet that said it. I could be wrong, but I thought they said he had it. But I know for sure that a lot of White House officials got it. I'm like, my man, y'all couldn't shake hands with Trump before y'all left? The White House?
I'm sorry. I don't mean that.
I need
I'm
this
sorry.
To happen.
Yeah, Gooseneck got the Rona. Gooseneck got the Rona?
I hope he did. You know what? I need to quit putting it out there because I just saw one source say it. I'm going to take that back before somebody from Kentucky hit me up or whatever and I get all them emails.
Oh, Lord.
Because you know he be campaigning. If somebody from his campaign sent me some stuff, I'm like, I'll put y'all in spam. I could have wrote back. You know they be sending people messages to vote. I'm like, I hope all these black people that's running to take y'all feet taken. Because I need y'all, it's a black guy in Kentucky, Kentucky.
Yeah.
And then the one running for Lindsey Graham's seat, Senator Black, man, he be throwing shots at him on Twitter. His Twitter be popping.
But
those senators right there, if we can get them black senators, because a lot of them, they're going up in the races. It's like neck and neck. Like, I think getting closer to the date, those two black senators, if that could happen, that would be the greatest defeat of white
supremacy. Love it.
If we could get them to take them two seats.
Absolutely.
That would be amazing.
I wouldn't love nothing better than a cooked goose. Goose ain't going down.
I get tired of him talking. He said something else about, he like, didn't want to send another stimulus check because he's like, just because you don't want to fix your turkey neck. Don't mean nobody else want the money. Sound like you got a stroke every time you talk. He ain't got nobody. I don't trust nobody with no upper lip. He ain't got no upper lip. I can't trust nothing you say. He ain't got no upper lip.
Yeah.
Don't talk about nothing.
That's right.
He the same color as uncooked. Chicken. That's what I'm just saying. It's so sad in this radio, y'all. Every Thursday, 4 to 6 p.m.
Oh, God.
I'm just talking shit until it's time to go.
Oh,
but,
my goodness.
Yeah, every Thursday, 4 to 6 p.m. My savvy heathen talk was every day is Stevie Wonder Appreciation Day. And every day, I'm going to add on to that, every day is Raphael Sadiq Appreciation Day. It's one of my favorite producers. Songwriters, musicians of all times, I've been lifting his name up forever. I will forever. As long as I got a platform, I'm going to talk about the greatness of Raphael Sadiq and Stevie Wonder, as well as others. But it's special because it's their birthdays.
Yeah.
And doggone it, I just had another one. Whitney, what's your savvy? I got another savvy heathen talk, but throw yours out there before we go.
Oh, I'm about to go eat this gumbo in a second.
Oh, Lord.
You're going to eat some gumbo. What'd you put in it?
Oh, my goodness.
What's in it? This one. I didn't make this one. You know, it takes like
is it spicy?
2 hours to make gumbo.
I like spicy gumbo.
I hope it doesn't have okra in it. Does it have okra in it?
This one does. I'm going
oh,
to
Lord.
That's the only time I eat okra is if it's in gumbo.
Yeah, that's the best way I eat it.
I can't eat okra by itself. That's a big thing in my dad's side of the family. I hate it.
Me too. I couldn't agree with you more. Yep, don't like
it.
I don't like it unless it's in gumbo.
You can leave it out.
Listen, I've seen it fried. I've seen it pan fried.
I don't care.
No, I don't want it.
I don't care.
And I think the fact that I was forced to eat it as a kid, anything that I was forced to eat as a kid, I don't like. That's what it is.
Yeah.
Anything I was forced to eat, I don't want.
Oh my God!
It ain't gonna change. Cause if you throw a little delicacy or something on there, I'm not saying I won't eat it ever. Like I said, I eat it during gumbo. That's good enough. I don't need it with anything else.
Right.
Thank you for that. She's about to go eat gumbo, and then my other savvy said, "I thought this was a great tweet. I'm gonna end the show on a high note because I've been acting kind of crazy." I've been lukewarm crazy on here this whole show, but I'm going to end it. This tweet I just saw is from Ariel Lopez. It says, create content because you want to create it, not because you're waiting for someone to like it. And I feel like that's 100% true. Because if I waited for somebody to like it, Soul Sadness wouldn't even be created. I created it because I liked it and thought it was cool. And so there it is. It exists now. So any content creator, if you like it, create it. Don't worry about if you're going to get thousands and thousands or hundreds of thousands or millions of followers or people, because if it's meant to happen, it's going to happen. Sometimes with this internet wave, sometimes it just takes one video to take you to the next platform. I feel like Tabitha Brown is one of my favorite Instagram follows, and I've been following her for a while, and she just had a couple videos go viral, and now she's on a whole, and she's been in the acting game for a while. And she's been putting in her due, just doing what she does, creating the content she wants to create. And now she's going to be a household name, and I love it. But, yeah, that's my savvy heathen talk.
Yep.
Create your content because you want to. Don't do it because you want somebody else to love it. But, yeah, we out, y'all.
We out.
Raphael Sadiq. This next song is called Never Give You Up. This is from Raphael Sadiq's The Way I See It album from 2008. I picked this song because it's his birthday today, Raphael Sadiq's birthday today, and Stevie Wonder, so we got a good deal for the two for the price of one, okay? Because we got Stevie Wonder on here, we got Raphael Sadiq. We out, y'all. This is my favorite song from that album. Let's go. We out.
Tell the world, you got my tomorrow.